This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of GeekDad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 85. It's hard being Dungeon Master for my wife. Hello again, everyone. You found it, and we made it. We're back. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 85. Wait, am I reading that? 85. I'm Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com, and joined again by a wonderful panel of the Geek Dad core contributors. So lovely to have them with us tonight. First of all, Mr. Matt Blum, who just flew in, and boy, is his arms tired.
Drove
in. All right. Yeah. Well, did you put the golf clubs away?
Cute, very cute. Yeah, that 400 miles would probably be a pretty, that would be like the biggest golf course in the world. Like a par 5,000?
Yeah. Ooh, it's a new game.
Really long.
Extreme golf.
Yeah. We can make golf even more boring. Okay.
Bitter? Sorry. Wow.
How do you really feel about it?
Honestly, I've never actually played real golf, but I have watched it because, well, my in-laws really enjoy golf, and honestly, not my favorite thing in the world.
I'm with you on that for sure.
You know. Okay.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I was like, what is that strange UFO in the picture?
Yeah. The point being is actually, I've actually played golf since I was like 8 years old, but left it off for quite a while. But now my older son's really getting into it. So I have been taking him to play golf for lately.
That's cool. Hey, right. Well, many people enjoy it. I just not one of them, you know, it's fine.
Well, then, cast aspersions.
But anyway, I'm glad to be here. Yes, a 400 mile drive with my my wife and kids back from Massachusetts.
Excellent.
Uneventful, fortunately.
That's like a drive down to Disneyland for us.
Yeah, that's about the same distance.
All right. So, yeah, there are a few more people on the call, you might have guessed. So, Michael Harrison, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing fantastic.
And what brand of bourbon do you have?
I have 1792.
I've had that. It's excellent. That's very good. Good
stuff. His wife has really good taste in bourbon.
Yeah, I tend to send her into the liquor store, and she comes back, and things are usually good.
That's wonderful. I happen to be I wish I had some this week, but joined the was it the Maker's Mark Ambassadors program, which, well, I've mentioned it before. Yeah, we've got like a Geek Dad, a barrel of Maker's Mark somewhere in Kentucky with Geek Dad's name on it. Here's the.
Okay, I'm heading out to the car, guys.
how do we get the? How do we get some? You know,
I have no idea. It's got to age for like 10 years or something, but.
It's scary that you have that just right on hand.
How was that? How was that? Right there.
What you're saying is it? In 10 years or however long, we're going to have a party in Kentucky, right?
There it is.
Geek Dad party.
Nice.
Geek Dad Con 20-something, yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it's that. It's either like maybe it'll only be 7 years, but yes.
They'll be like Grand Geek Dad.
I can wait that long.
So it'll be good when it you know, hopefully. I wonder if they actually give you an opportunity to buy bottles that are drained from your cask.
Probably.
That sounds like a terrible euphemism.
Okay.
But yeah. No. Well, all right. So all right. So let me. I'll continue the body jokes. So as a gift to their ambassadors this last year, they sent us balls. No. Actually, it's ice cube trays that lets you make spherical ice cube balls.
Okay.
Because they suggest that it's like the best way to ice your bourbon is to have this perfect sphere that, you know, has like, it'll melt equally all the way around and whatever. But They're fun. They're fun.
Only theoretically it would, I suppose, but only if you could make it float halfway down in the middle of the...
Right.
Because if it's touching the glass, it's not going to melt equally. But anyway.
Yeah. And I'm raring to try. They've got a new fancier thing out that I've got to go find in the store and pay way too much for.
Just looking up where they are. There's like this tiny little town like right in the center of the state.
Yep.
Loretto, Kentucky.
Yeah. That's cool. So you might have heard Natanya Barron hanging out as well.
Hi.
In the wrong part of the house to get the bourbon, obviously.
Yes, upstairs, yeah.
Yes, sorry about that.
You know, while we're talking to Natanya, Michael, that would be the gentlemanly thing to do, to run away from your computer and go pour her a glass and then come back.
Yeah.
I'll be right on that.
Okay, right. Well, excellent. And last but not least, Mr. Chuck Lawton, how are you doing this week, Chuck?
Good, excellent. How are you?
It is. We live in interesting times.
Yes, we do.
Let's put it that way. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But yeah, it's fun. But so, any big news? Any geeky, good geeky news? I'm trying to, you know, there's been plenty of little technology rumors and cell phone stuff coming out, but. Nothing huge that I can think of in the last couple of weeks.
I've got something that's totally pop culture. It's not tech related.
Okay.
But I got very excited this evening. I retweeted it, but it looks like Jamie Bamber and Ron Moore are teaming up for a new TV show called 17th Precinct. And if you're a huge Battlestar Galactica fan like myself and have been mourning the loss of Apollo for quite some time... Not Fat Apollo, but other Apollo. it's really exciting. And I guess they're billing it as like a grown-up Harry Potter kind of thing. So
That's right. I think I heard that. I thought he was. What didn't he just do like at least like a single run of an English series or something in the last year?
I think so. It's always weird when he plays actually British, but yeah.
It's very odd. Completely wrong. But that sounds Ronald Moore can do no wrong.
There's the There's the computer playing Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
The Geeky News, which I haven't watched it yet, but apparently it did really well in round two. Like kicked the humans' butts.
Yeah, well, I still think that there's some unfairness there.
Well, because it could be much faster?
Well, no. Because the primary input is they actually feed the text. The text is directly entered to the computer.
Yes.
It doesn't have to interpret speech.
Oh, that's interesting.
True. Yeah, it gets the question as soon as it, like, whoever the, what's his name?
Alex Trebek.
Yes, starts reading the question, and most people, they can read ahead, but...
Well, but the thing is... Huh?
But then Watson will get the question right away.
Audio's gone to the chat, yeah.
Oh, that's no good.
Oh, I know why. That's my fault.
Oh, because you put a...
Yeah, hold on. I'll fix it real fast.
A moment of silence for our new robot overlords.
Okay, that.
Are you back?
Now we should have sound. There.
I was going to say, it shouldn't matter, actually, because you can't ring in until Alex is done reading the question. The answer, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because as soon as he's done, there's lights that are on the side of the board, but you can't see on camera that light up when you can ring in.
That's why you always see them like pushing their buttons like madmen.
Well, that's the thing is, I know this because I was on the show 10 years ago, but assuming they haven't changed it now, if you press it before the lights go on, you get locked out for 3 seconds, I think it is. And which doesn't sound like a lot, but is in that respect.
And if
more than one contestant rings in at exactly the same time, neither one of them gets it. And then they can, but that's why you bounce your, that's why you keep pressing your button like mad in the hope that, you know, you'll hit it just right so that you won't be doing it at the same time as somebody else.
Well, and there's the other question is does the computer have to see the light go green to know it has the opportunity to ring in?
That I don't know.
See, it's not. It's getting its stimuli. I'm betting you. You know, first of all, the question fed directly, and secondly, the notice that it can ring in fed directly, rather than them having to go through the the equivalent of sensory organs.
Well, I think the question being entered into
I'm going to nitpick this to death.
That's actually reasonable because it's not meant to be demonstrating speech processing. It's meant to be demonstrating, figuring out clues and, that kind of adaptive programming.
It's right, but if the humans have to do that all too.
Yes, but humans have a lifetime of experience working on it and a brain that is ideally structured for just for that purpose.
Yes, but the computer has 30 acolytes, a room with dedicated, UPS, and...
It's true, but...
Damn it, the computer can't win!
Anyway, it's interesting. I wonder what they're going to do with Watson after this is over. There's been some speculation.
He's going to go retire with Deep Blue.
On the beach.
The other contestants are going to take him out back and destroy him a la Office Space.
Office Space.
Oh, yes. That was a good scene. But,
and more like walk into the room with the 12 servers and start unplugging things.
Right. That's true.
That doesn't really work as well as a nice scene.
Yeah. But. Oh, that was a great scene. It was. Because everybody's had a piece of machinery that they'd like to do that to.
Exactly. Oh, let's see. So, you can tell I am just over-prepared for tonight.
You need some 1792.
I could use some 1793, really.
Good for you, Michael. You brought your wife. Bourbon. Excellent.
I'm a good husband.
Indeed.
Oh, what else? Wow, this is going to be a really short podcast.
I've been kind of out of regular news, so I don't know.
I've already gotten sort of derided a couple of times for going off too much on Apple stuff on here.
Right? Well, we could talk. We could talk about Valentine's Day.
What did everyone do for Valentine's Day? Did we have any good geeky Valentine's Days?
We played Dungeons and Dragons.
That's excellent.
That was our Valentine's Day or Valentine's evening.
Yeah,
was that a pretty good Valentine's Day?
Did people die? Did people? What did?
Well, actually. I somehow convinced Michael to let me skip two levels. I'm not exactly sure how that worked, but
yeah.
What did all the other players say about this? Well, if she gets to skip two levels, then why don't we skip?
So this is how she did it too. She was like, "Didn't you tell us that we could go up to level 5?" And I had forgotten that they were level 3 before, and I just assumed that they were level 4. And I was like, oh, yeah, just go up a level. That's cool. And, of course, everyone else shows up, and they're like, no, we're supposed to be level 4. And Natanya had already prepared everything, printed out her character sheet. And, it's kind of hard to go back and take away skills. So we just said, go ahead and keep it. So she got the edge for that session.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sly.
That's the only
very
reason.
Sly. Very sly. Well done.
Sure.
Yeah, I knew I married her for a reason.
She's sneaky.
So we also did that the other thing for Valentine's. Not that thing, but the other thing.
our new podcast?
Yes. Not to totally promote it, but we had the idea to start a podcast about being a geeky couple, and we recorded the first episode on Sunday night, and I've got to say it's a very cool thing to do that with your significant other. So it's a little, as Michael says, navel-gazy. The first episode, we're just kind of talking about how it is we came to be this couple and how we met, and reminiscing about text-based role playing and mushes and stuff like that. It was really, really fun. It's been forever since we sort of creatively collaborated, and that was a really, for me anyway, it was a really big Valentine's Day gift, because, you know, I'm not your chocolates and flowers kind of gal, so that meant a lot more.
I think go ahead.
My wife and I did the same thing like 4 or 5 years ago, and we only made it through 3 episodes, so if you can beat that, then you've got something.
Well, we're already at 2.
You know what they say? They say that most podcast relationships only last 2 to 3 episodes. So,
well, I am a statistically significant sample there.
But yeah, I mean, it was. I would just recommend that anyone in a relationship do the very same thing, even if you're not recording it. Just like sit down and kind of talk about your history. It seemed like a really great way to spend Valentine's Day, as opposed to kind of, you know, trucking in with all of the consumerism and buying chocolates and whatnot. We just sat down and talked about everything that had happened to us, and it was really fun.
Very cool.
Although I think probably doing it like a podcast helps you, because you sort of externalize, like you're presenting to an audience. So maybe there's less, I don't know, it might facilitate it somehow.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's certainly a sense of like accountability if you're going to go out there and be like, this is how we came to be. We're not going to be like, and we're separating, and it's just like, you know.
Yeah, we're just waiting for the episode, the one right after the big fight.
Right.
It's all very brittle. And so, well, what do you want to talk about tonight? No, I know what we should talk about. Who forgot to put the seat down again?
more like who killed my character during last night's Dungeons and Dragons session?
That's I think one of the subjects we're going to cover is gaming with your significant other. That's definitely,
it can be tense.
It can be really tense. I've threatened. It's hard.
It's hard being a dungeon master to your wife. She's always got that one bargaining chip that no one else at the table can really throw down. You guys know what I'm talking about.
One direction
about.
Or the other. Yeah. So that's how you got fifth level. All right. before this goes too much further off the rails, I should remember to thank our sponsor.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Our dear old sponsor, maphook.com. If you guys haven't heard about this, you know, in a previous podcast, please check them out. Maphook is a location-based social network. Lets you create digital memories, pictures, reviews, comments, and more. Tag them to a map, share them with everyone, or just friends, or even just keep them private. You can create and view hooks. This is their signature thing. You create a hook with pictures, whatever. Use the iPhone app, or you can do it through their website. Then groups of hooks can be combined into a story that can be shared via email with anyone, even if they're not a MacBook user, and it helps you sort of tell a tale. You know, if you're taking pictures and creating hooks through a trip, you can put them all together in a story, and then, you know, send them back home to friends or family, and, you know, show them what you've been doing. And they can really enjoy the trip with you. One of the things that's very cool about Maphook is the tagging that they use has a real good focus on the geek culture audience. They have subcategories like comic books and web comics and toys and gadgets and cosplay and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, obviously there is a good smart geek component to their service that I think makes them distinct from Foursquare or Yelp or something else like that. You know, everybody's trying to find their hook in the social hook, geolocation universe, and these guys really have a good geeky hook to them. So I think it's worthwhile for people to check it out. So, give it a try. Check them out: maphook.com or the Maphook app on the iPhone. And we thank them so much for their continued support of the Geek Dad podcast.
So do they have an Android app?
I believe they are working on it. I'm going to have to verify with them. I've just traded emails with them today, actually, about some. They're actually going to try and get some of the other folks that they're they're advertising and sponsoring with to get the word out in the next couple of days about our little nomination that's still in voting, I believe.
Oh, yes.
Bloggies.
The bloggies. Yes. There's a little piece of news that I don't think we had on the last episode. Yes.
I can't remember if we did. I think we did.
We did.
All right,
yeah.
So we've killed that one. If you didn't hear it last time, everybody, we are nominated for a couple of bloggies. The Geek Dad is for best parenting blog and best group blog. And then Geek Mom is nominated for best new blog. Or not just nominated, but we are finalists.
Which is very exciting. Is really, if you think really about cool. All the new blogs that are out there, and ours was like one of five, to me, that's kind of like winning anyway.
That's big. That's amazing. It's totally amazing. Yes.
Voting, I sound like Pollyanna over here, but yeah.
Voting closes this coming Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern time.
All right. Maybe we need to do a refresher on the blog, too.
Couldn't hurt.
Could definitely not hurt in a little all-out Twitter. Shake it up a little bit. Because that would be cool to win.
It would be awesome. It's cool that we're in the five finalists. And
that's a huge
begin with, but yeah, it's also really cool because it's the first year they've had the parenting blog category at all.
Yeah. So,
we're a finalist in the first year of that category is pretty awesome.
Totally rock. And it's just, you know, these little things, they keep popping up every now and then. It makes us feel like, you know, we're actually doing something right. Right, nearly yes. enough. So... Oh, holy Toledo. What else?
We have to start getting things planned for Geek Dad's 4th anniversary.
Ooh, yes. That would be next month.
That would be a month from today.
We're getting lots of really cool stuff together for PAX East, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's going to be a blast.
I did find out. Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah, we get. I think maybe we need to like do a little planning series or something on that, just because we need to really highlight that and get as many people as we can to come up. What was the story about the panel being extended?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half long. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's an hour and a half long. Cool. I didn't. Yeah. I mean, I didn't ask for that or anything when I put in the application, but it is. So I just looked at it and said, "Oh, that's 90 minutes." Okay. I'm wondering if it's because last year, you know, we had to like cut things short. Like lots of people still had things right. they wanted to say, and we just had to stop because the next panel.
It might. I mean, it was, you know, Full House last time, and I'm just I keep being completely tickled by the fact that they're, you know, approving us to do these things. So somebody at Penny Arcade likes us. They really really like us, and this is totally exciting. Are you guys planning? You know, got a presentation in the works, and.
You know, we were just gonna wing it, probably.
We've been bouncing ideas back and forth. Okay. We're gonna get something organized.
And you get to work on the giveaway thing again too.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been. Yeah, yeah. Doug said he already has a bunch of passes to the Boston Science Museum lined up already.
Awesome. And I should be arranging some epic swag.
Yeah, and I got to talk to Jamie. I think
epic swag.
I've got some. Some Wizards of the Coast stuff, awesome. Like last time.
Good.
I think Geek will definitely be helping us out with that.
Yeah, too. Are we gonna you know plant the room with Annoyatrons before the don't tell anyone we're doing it.
Maybe we shouldn't have just announced it on the podcast. Anyway,
yeah, like anyone listens to this that goes to PAX, give me a break.
I mean, we can ask them if they mind if we do that.
Ask?
We'd like to be able to come back. You know?
That's what we did last time.
We did it last time, and they've asked us back.
That's true. You guys did do it then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So, totally. Yeah. Now, three in a row. I'm hoping for four in a row, and we get to do PAX Prime again. Because I was actually talking with Aisha of Parent Hacks. And they're going to be at PAX Prime this year, she and her husband, Rail. And so I'm going to try and wrangle getting one or both of them on the panel.
That would be sweet.
That would be awesome. Because it's one of those little known pieces of Geek Dad lore that Asia was actually one of the original Geek Dad contributors.
I loved her blog when it was active. It's great.
I love that we have lore.
We do. We have data and lore.
How about not?
No, next we have to build up to a mythos next. You know, you start with lore and then you have a mythos. So we have to like seed fake stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, like Ken was born with a squid head and they had it removed, but it's like in a museum somewhere. You know? No.
Thanks. I'll come up with something for you now, Natanya. Jeez.
Sure, I'm all about it.
Is that something we can run on?
Those
on
were my Cthulhoid tentacles, 1st. Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should do fake Geek Dad lore on April 1st.
Kind of like Curtis's Friday stuff, but a little more family friendly.
Yeah.
A little?
Yeah.
Curtis's Friday stuff, the reason why we don't run the Twitter feed on our front page.
Well, that's why Curtis was not part of the Twitter feed that we tried to run on the side page for a while.
It was there, but yeah, Ken had the wise notion of eliminating Curtis's. Yeah.
Discretion being the better part of valor, yes.
Much as we love Curtis. And Curtis is going to be on the panel at PAX East. So.
That's so awesome.
Has he confirmed? Because I know he was having some trouble.
No, he says he's going to be there.
Awesome.
That's what he told me.
It's going to be a blast. There's like 8 people on the panel, right?
Yeah, I've lost count, actually, especially since Kathy?
Yeah.
Corinna. Kathy and Corinna are both, they're both going to be there. Kathy said her thing in the morning got canceled, so she's going to be there.
I think we're actually going to have the same number of geek moms as geek dads, right?
Possibly.
Dads, right? Because isn't Doug going to?
John Booth isn't going to be there. Although, which means I should really get them to take his name off the website.
Or you'll find a little placard on a table waiting for him.
But we'll have 3/4 of the mom editorial staff. So that's.
Well, Dave Banks is going to be there. Mike, you're going to be there. Doug's going to be there, and I'm going to be there. So that's 5.
Guys, four girls.
Yeah.
3 girls.
Now Kate is going to be there, Natanya.
Yeah. Kathy said.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Kathy said her thing in the morning got canceled, so she's going to be able to show up on time for that.
Wait, Kathy, Natanya, Corinna, who else?
Well, Kay's going to be there. I don't know if she'll be on.
Oh, Kay's going to be there. Right. Gotcha. Yeah, Kay's
from Geek Mom. Yep.
Right.
Excellent.
That's a hell of a lot more balanced.
Yeah, I think
it'll
be really
parenting. Panel, that's awesome.
Yes,
gotta like it. Let's see. Please stop time machine backup while I'm trying to record a podcast.
Jeez.
Oh, yes. Matt.
That's why you just shouldn't back up stuff.
Oh yeah, they should stop. Just forget backup. Who needs it?
It just happens, and you never know. And what's the point?
Yeah.
Okay, we seem to be the only panel that got extended to an hour and a half.
We have prime time, too. It's like 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock Saturday?
1 o'clock to 2:30 is what it says. Wow. I'm just looking to see what the next thing in that theater is. No, the next thing that's there is at 2:30.
It's in the theater. Awesome.
So it's not a typo. Yeah, we rock. I mean, we knew that, but apparently other people do.
See, the problem is we're geeks, so we still have problem... getting along, figuring out the idea that people could actually be interested in what we're doing,
It's so ingrained in us.
It is. We're sorry. Well, we'll make it smaller and shorter. We don't want to put anyone out.
Maybe Gabe or Tycho has some questions about raising their kids, and they just wanted to kind of give us the time necessary, and they're going to show up.
That must be it.
They're going to crash it?
Yeah.
Place is gonna blow up.
I like Jonathan's idea of putting Curtis on a 5-second delay.
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up. I didn't want to keep beating up on Curtis when he's not here.
At any rate, the episode where they bashed Curtis incessantly.
The episode title, "Sorry Curtis, you should have been there."
Yeah. You could have defended yourself. Oh, too bad. Oh, let's see, plans continue apace for Maker Faire as well. We will definitely keep plugging this because Maker Faire is going to be crazy cool this year. I know, Matt, you're going to be there. Looks like Jonathan Liu will be there. It's looking very possible that John Bastel will be there. I know Anton will be there. Hopefully, Natanya and Michael, you'll be there.
It looks good.
Excellent. Okay, excellent. Good.
Well, Jonathan says he's a maybe, but...
No, he's not.
Well, we very much hope he's there.
Oh, he will be there.
if you have to go to Tribune and bring him there at gunpoint, what?
Picking him up and bringing him over.
But we'll put a collection plate. We'll pass it around at PAX or something.
Jonathan will be there. Well, I think for Jonathan, it's not so much about funding as it is about timing and his wife having to work.
Yes.
We will very much miss Jonathan if he's not there, though.
Oh, wait. Definitely. Jonathan's wife is listening right now.
Let's plead.
Robin, please, you all need to come to Maker Faire. You guys will all have a blast at Maker Faire.
It is
please
awesome.
Let Jonathan come out and play.
And Jonathan got tons of interest last time because people just loved watching him do the stuff with the Etch-A-Sketches. I mean, that just blew us all away, really.
Oh, absolutely.
So we need him to come in and wow people again. none of us are nearly as talented as that.
And remember, Jonathan, gaming table. So I was actually doing some preliminary layouts for the booth.
Geek.
It's good. Yeah, well.
Was it on graph paper, Ken? Was
trying to figure out how many tables we're going to need.
Was it in graph paper? Good one.
Well, how else do you do that?
No, it was engineering paper.
Well, that's true. Ken's a civil engineer, so he's got.
Yeah.
It's in his blood, I think.
So I was doing it in CAD. What?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yet. Michael would have used dungeon tiles, so.
Actually, no. I have a Lego model built.
You should bring the Lego model to Maker Faire, and then have the Lego model in the Lego model, and just blow everyone's mind.
There you go.
But can you put a Lego model in the Lego model in the Lego model?
I think Ken can.
It'd be interesting. You'd have to go.
And then Jonathan can do an Etch-A-Sketch of the Lego model in the Lego model.
And then we have to put Jonathan with an Etch-A-Sketch in the Lego model.
Yes. I'll just bring the bourbon.
and at some point we'll collapse into a singularity, but that's okay. Yeah.
Actually, Jenny, the Lego sign, we really need to redo the Lego sign because it's our old branding, not our current branding.
That is true. I can try to design that.
Yeah. So my big idea is to do something gigantic with contained Diet Coke and Mentos explosions in the booth.
I needed to talk to you about that. I actually... I may have to do a demo over here in Raleigh at a local library, and I think that would probably blow people away.
Well, the
how are you planning on it?
How am I planning on it?
Yeah.
Something along the lines of 5-inch diameter clear plexiglass tubing, like about 16, 18 feet tubes. And then the appropriate PVC fittings to bring it down to a regulation EP Bird interface to a bottle.
Regulation?
Yeah. The official EP Bird.
It's in the manual being used there. It's your engineer self coming through.
It meets IS 9001 certification. And so I have like four of these across the in the back of the booth, and every hour we launch you know, a launch of new bottles worth of stuff as a week. Everybody count down. Everybody who's at the booth has to stop and count down so that the whole expo hall hears us counting down.
Uh-huh.
And we do the and we launch the four big big spouts.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
it could be interesting.
So that's my mission to try and design and build that for I get all the parts and everything before Maker Faire.
I can see that working at Maker Faire, but it might get me banned for life from the local Raleigh library. So
it's okay, we're moving to Chapel Hill, so it doesn't really matter.
But what a way to go.
We're moving, so
library card revoked.
If we have learned nothing else from Mythbusters, that you should always end with an explosion.
Right.
Did they also have ask permission?
Or that's for kids.
Begging forgiveness is so much easier.
Yeah.
Not that we're advocating that people do this.
No,
don't try this at home or your public library.
Geek Dad accepts no responsibility for
anything. Yeah, wait a minute. They need to put up a disclaimer on the video now. Jeez. Oh man! All right. Well, anyone want to do some posts of the week?
I would have to go actually.
I can do my post of the week. The one that I was able to squeeze out so far with the full-time dad job currently. Have you guys seen the okay, first of all, who's played Arkham Horror?
Moi.
Is Natanya the only one who's played Arkham Horror?
I fear yes.
Oh,
Ken.
So it's an amazing board game.
I feel terrible. You know what? You know what I've been doing for the last year?
I know.
I have to be doing for the next year? Yeah.
This is why we have to have a game table at Maker's Faire.
Exactly.
Maker Faire. Yeah. So Arkham Horror is a board game that's sort of based in the H.P. Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos. And it's a very involved board game where it's a cooperative game where you and the other players attempt to save the world from, you know, the great old one that is going to awaken it, you know, at a certain point and devour everyone.
Attempt being the operative word here.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do, which I mean that makes sense. It shouldn't be easy to kill Cthulhu. Right?
That does make sense, yes.
But Fantasy Flight Games, the people who made Arkham Horror, they're actually releasing a game called Mansions of Madness, and it's coming out. I guess they don't really have a release day, but we're thinking it's going to be toward the end of the month, and they've got a preview weekend coming up, and I posted a preview video of the board game, and it looks really, really cool. It kind of reminds me of like a it looks similar to Clue in that, you know, you've got all these different rooms spread throughout the mansion, but it has that Lovecraft sort of theme to it. So there's like creepy rooms, lots of creepy stuff going on, and I think you're cooperatively trying to destroy one of the players who is playing kind of the evil person. So it looks really exciting, and I posted one of the preview videos, and I'm really hoping we can get a review unit of this game, because I've been looking forward to it so much.
What's the name again?
It's Mansions of Madness.
Cool.
And it's got all these awesome little miniatures, and the gameplay as they've described it, the mechanics just seem really fun, especially if you're into, you know, the Lovecraft stuff like I am. So I'm really looking forward to it. Hoping that Fantasy Flight maybe is listening. Maybe will respond to my emails. But I'd like to play it before it comes out so we can kind of talk about it a little bit on the site. That's my post of the week.
Okay. Very cool.
Cool. All right. Who's next?
I like the one about the Nathan Barry's post about how young is too young to get an online life, where he was giving his daughter one of his old MacBook laptops.
Right.
And went into crazy detail about snatching up usernames and domain names based on her name. So she's all ready and has Web 2.0, like, got a handle on that. And the rhetorical question at the end of how much of an online presence do your kids have? They use it much? Any tips and tricks for safe surfing, which I'm sure Doug would love to chime in on.
No doubt.
Yeah, if he were here.
We've done a lot of... we've been doing a series of stories. We got this relationship with the Center for Democracy and Technology, and we've been doing a lot of posts about safety, safety online for your kids and such. But yeah, isn't it weird? So how many here have domain names for their kids already?
We just have the family domain name, and then of course I can crank out email addresses based on that.
No, okay,
but. They don't actually have any yet, but I'm ready to go.
Does a subdomain count?
I mean, so my example is gonna be I have purchased the domains for each of my son's names, so that they're all set. When it comes time, when they're ready, But that's a question. Is that gonna be that important or cool? When is it even cool for kids their age now, and is it really going to be important to them when they grow up? Because, what do we use them for at this point? Some personal blogging.
Right.
For your resume, though, it's pretty awesome to have a domain that you can point to someone to easily. That's not like, poner.org or something.
Isn't the web dead though?
Bob77114.wordpress.com. But yeah.
I mean, our 4 year old has a Facebook page that we use just to post funny stories and pictures to. I mean, all of our family is on Facebook, so it just makes more sense to use that than say Twitter or even a standalone website. But I definitely see the benefit to it.
I think you got an email address for our son. Like, he was like not even born yet, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
No, after he was born.
I actually have an email address for one of the names that we were thinking about using for him.
Gotta cover all bases, right?
Yeah, just in case.
Email addresses being considerably easier to come by though, so
yeah.
And also free, right.
Well, you say that, but it depends on your name.
Yeah, this is true.
That's
because I have one of the world's most common names, and there's no way that I'm going to get michaelharrison.com, and I certainly am not going to get michaelharrison@gmail.com or anything like that. So
he's just jealous.
Yeah, Natanya has Natanya@gmail.com.
I know, that's pretty good. When you can get your first name.
Thanks for telling the whole world there, honey.
So you can send any complaints to
sadly in my case there's a photographer, apparently a fairly prominent photographer in Minneapolis, out of Minneapolis, who has the same name as I did, so he grabbed the domain from before I could get it.
Yeah, there's some weird pianist named Michael Harrison, and he rules the Google search engine results page from my name.
My wife is a artist, and when we tried rebuilding her website, we found that there was another artist in the UK also named Sue Lawton, who does very different and arguably not as good work. And so we're like, dang it. What are we going to do now?
The only one.
Exactly. Yes.
At the time. Did she consider going the route of changing her name?
No.
Yeah.
Because she's been doing that work under her name for a while, so I don't know if we can claim that it's been established, because it's only been so popular, but I don't know.
Well, be spiteful,
like
get her name.co.uk.
that assumes the other one hasn't.
Right, that's what I'm just saying.
Done that, but yeah.
But there would be irony.
That's true.
That's why it was so great with our band. It was just totally made up word. So we own the whole Google search results for that. The VitrolumRepublic.com. Piece of cake.
That is the nice thing about making up words. Yes. Of course, you can always change. Yeah, if you change your name, then you do the same thing.
Exactly. And you guys saw the little trick that Google pulled to kind of determine that Bing had been stealing search results from them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was fun.
That was cool.
It's not a new idea. I mean, people, excuse me, like people have been doing that for years for anything that's fact-based. You know, like people will write encyclopedias or almanacs and such, and they'll stick in one fake fact somewhere in there. Because, of course, you can't copyright facts. You can only copyright the presentation of them. So, so like Trivial Pursuit, the original edition of Trivial Pursuit had a mistake in it because they had stolen so much of their information from this particular book that had, where the guy had stuck this in. It was the detective Columbo's first name was, which was actually never revealed. But he said it was Frank, I think, and they stuck that on the question in Trivial Pursuit. And so, you know, he tried to sue, but I think he got a settlement because they had used that. And yeah, people will do that on maps a lot, I understand. They'll like stick like one tiny little street in that doesn't actually exist to see if somebody copies it. Which makes sense.
Very intriguing. Yeah.
Which never happens on Wikipedia.
You should have. I would have figured, though, that Microsoft would have at least put that kind of stuff through some sort of a vetting process, but I guess not.
Well, it's hard. By design.
There's that much information.
Yeah. Well, a random series of letters and numbers, perhaps.
Yeah. Don't know. But yeah, right. No, it's very smart to do that, definitely.
All right, Matt, you got a post of the week?
I think I can do that. I thought the post from today that Dan Donahue did about the Fisher Price iPhone thing. I thought that was very cute. because we've done so much about, you know, with you know, games on the iPhone or iPod Touch or iPad for little kids, and it's like, you know, by the time I got an iPhone, my kids were old enough that I felt okay giving it to them. But like, if they were two, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't feel comfortable giving them my iPhone, you know, to play with. I don't think so. No, because I know what two-year-olds do with things that they're holding. They stick them in their mouth. They throw them. You know, these are all both things I really don't want to happen to my iPhone. And so that Fisher Price has now come out with this, with a device that's meant to hold an iPhone or iPod Touch in such a way that it's protected from a toddler doing something like that is, I think, is pretty cool. Because I think I can see it appealing to a lot of people. And I would expect that the makers of games for that age set would be thrilled that this sort of thing is now happening.
So, come up with a deal where you buy one and you get like a $25 iTunes card just so you can fill the thing up with kids games. And
yeah, I mean, that'd be very smart. Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, maybe you know, if I were, you know, a prominent maker of, you know, apps for little kids on the iPhone, maybe, you know, try to make a deal with Fisher Price to, you know, stick a, you know, flyer in there about their service, and maybe, you know, a code or something for, you know, a discount. I don't know. Just thoughts, but I think it's cool that it's going that way. You know, because obviously the iPhone, and iPad and iPod Touch have clearly become one of the prominent gaming platforms out there, and smartphones in general have. Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. The Android phones are still catching up, but it's a huge platform. I mean, practically everybody has played Angry Birds at this point. and
if they haven't,
there was even a reference to it on Glee tonight.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, then it's so over.
But
although I mentioned earlier today, though, that if Angry Birds ever releases a multiplayer support, the world is over. There's nothing else.
Not everyone quite sure how that would work, but you know.
One player play the pigs.
They'll find a way.
I don't know. Well, they're getting this the version come out with a movie Rio that's coming out, I think, next month, I want to say. Yeah, where they have which is about birds. And it actually kind of looks like a stupid movie, I have to say, from the previews that I've seen. But they're having a tie-in with that, where they're going to have a special Rio edition of the game, which is going to tie in with the movie. And, of course, there's the board game that's still being worked on. I still cannot imagine how this is going to work. And be any amount of fun, because the fun of it is that you're flinging birds at things. I mean, that's the cool thing. You can't make a game for kids where you're supposed to be flinging things, you know, off of a board, because you know there's going to be liability issues of, you know.
Like, I don't know. Have you ever played Crossfire? I mean, it's not like Hungry Hungry Hippos is the best, like the most complicated game in the world, and it's. You know, it's been around forever.
Yeah, but you're not actually like flinging things.
I don't know, man. You haven't played Hungry Hungry Hippos with a person who's really into it.
Not for a long time, I haven't. No, that's true.
And never as a drinking game.
No, too much coordination involved.
I gotta give you some props for the Crossfire reference.
Yeah,
thanks.
That is. Awesome.
That was very cute. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't see it working. But, you know, I could be wrong.
All right.
Could work as a cash-in. You know, somebody's making some coin off of that.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah. I mean, yeah, clearly. That you know, somebody said, we'd like to license, you know, Angry Birds to make a board game out of it. And, you know, they said, oh, well, can you give us this much money? And they said, oh, okay. I mean,
It'll never succeed unless the pigs can smirk at you and make ugly little oinky noises, because that's the only thing that gets you to keep playing.
Yeah,
that's true.
Pigs.
Right. Could we design an Angry Birds D&D module?
Be the rocks versus the giant boars.
Nice.
Angry dragons.
Roll the dice to see if my bluebird split into three and scored a critical hit.
Maybe there's a card game in there somewhere. Yeah.
Maybe you should call, what's it, Roxio? It's the name of the company, I think. You should call them up and see if they'll license it to you. So there you go.
Oh, there we go. Luke in the chat room. GURPS, Angry Birds versus Zombies versus Plants. All right, do we have one more post of the week? Chuck, you went. Michael, did you go?
I went. Yeah, Natanya hasn't gone.
Do you have one, Natanya?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't strictly Geek Dad, but it's a post that I thought didn't get as much attention as I would have hoped over Valentine's weekend over on Geek Mom. We had Jen Tilbon write about her post. It's called Single Geek Mom Seeks Good Geek Man. And I think we pay a lot of attention to the married geeks, and it definitely has a sort of, it just tends to be that most of us are married. And it was really interesting to read her article from the point of view of, you know, we're always called this minority of geek women out there. But she's found it very difficult. So I thought it was kind of cute that on Valentine's Day, we're, you know, writing all these Valentine's Day posts. She's just something to go. Anyway, I like that her first thing was, I want someone who will be as excited as I am when I bring home explosives from work. Insurance liability, blah, blah, blah. Let's go light something on fire. So I think she's got a lot of personality, and I kind of hope that, I don't know, if someone made contact with her. It'd be key anyway. Maybe I'm too much of a romantic the last couple of days.
We've already got some action in the chat room on this one, so. Of course, I think Luke is in Australia, so that might be a barrier. But
just completely off topic. I just saw on CNN that Kenneth Mars, the actor, passed away. If you remember, in Young Frankenstein, he's the police inspector.
Oh, yes.
He's also the Nazi playwright in the original Producers. But
right. Oh, that's too bad.
So good in Young Frankenstein. But anyway, sorry, just totally off topic.
Thanks for bringing the podcast down, man. All right.
There's lots of like geek singles websites that I've seen while traversing the internet. So.
Oh, I know. I know. It's weird though because I don't know. I don't know. I'm very divided about all that.
Of course, back in our day, Natanya, geek singles websites were basically mushes and
yes,
online role playing. Chat and that sort of thing. So.
Yes, and even before that, it was the AOL.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'm sure I saw all of you guys at the Red Dragon Inn. Don't you even pretend?
Oh, absolutely.
No, they were probably all fraternizing before you.
Fitzwillie
really
and yeah, Severide. Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, I was also a guide, so.
Oh wow! Wow, yeah. No, I hung out there. I was a hobbit. Yeah. Didn't really fall far from the tree. And then I found like a place where everyone was hobbits instead of like, you know, hobbits and devils and like, you know, satyrs and like spacemen. those were kind of wild and wacky back then.
Yeah. Yeah. As I always joke about it, it was fun being on AOL when it had 300,000 members on the way up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Well then last but not least, in terms of post of the week, I'm just going to do a little shot here. The awesome, Geek Dad Lego minifig that, was done for, was it for Dan?
Yeah. Dan Donahue.
Yeah. After he had done the post about the fellow who does all the cool custom Lego minifigs, Chris Buchan. And, yeah, he did one for Dan and it looked awesome.
Sound is gone.
What's that?
Sound is gone. Chat room.
Oh, of course it is.
When you put an image up,
it's when I put an image up without actually giving it a sound channel at the same time.
Because
you have to do that distinctly, like this. Like this. No, it's not working now. So switch back and forth. There it is. Okay. Wow, that's exciting. So, yeah, that was it. That was cool. I also remember I've actually got one that I think our own Dave Banks did as part of a project he was doing. See, there's our very own Geek Dad Lego minifig on the video if you're watching at home. Whoa, depth of field, focus. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but that's cool. And, you know, I dream of... Actually, you know, the big thing I'm dreaming about for Maker Faire is if we get lucky, we might get a sponsor to buy us a MakerBot, and then I want to be like printing out our little Geek Dad characters in 3D.
Oh, totally!
That would be so awesome. Totally awesome.
That would be.
And my son's making noises at the back of the room here, getting. Oh, he's trying to find graph paper. You're such a geek.
Yay!
Engineering paper.
Yeah, where's the engineering paper?
That should be phrased otherwise. That you're such a geek.
Yeah,
you know, it should be a good thing. It's a good thing.
You should ask him what dungeon he's working on.
Yeah, the question from the audience is, what dungeon are you working on?
Owned.
Wait, you can use graph paper for something other than Dungeons and Dragons?
He just showed you.
Oh man, you got
obviously he's a cooler math teacher. I mean,
yeah, that's it.
Besides Dungeons and math class, because that would have been awesome.
That would be. That's too bad. All right.
He's using some not quite. Family friendly language.
Please close the door. All right, we better finish this one up if it's going to get that crazy in here. All right. Any last things? Anything's coming up that anyone needs to point out? We've already talked about all these fun things that are happening in the near future. I have no idea. Anything coming up?
I would point out that we are definitely still interested in. Topics to discuss during the PAX panel. So
yes,
if anyone wants us to cover anything specifically, you know, just touch base with us on the website or via Twitter.
Yeah. I totally think we could probably reuse a little bit of what we did for PAX Prime for PAX East, since that audience will not necessarily have seen some of what we did at PAX Prime.
For sure.
I thought we had a really good presentation for PAX Prime, so that's a thought.
And beyond that, I just, you know, anyone who is going to PAX, show up. You're bound to get some sort of insight or piece of advice or
swag.
Swag, yeah.
We handed out a lot of swag at PAX Prime. So.
If you mention the podcast, definitely give you something.
There you go. There you go. All right. Matt, anything we need to remind people of a, you know, proper editorial nature?
Other than if you haven't yet, go vote for us in the bloggies, please.
Go vote for us in the bloggies. Go vote for us in the bloggies. Go vote
tell your friends.
And for us. For
tell
Geek
your
Mom.
Friends.
And for Geek Mom. Us friends, the greater geek parenting us community. Please go out and vote for us, because we would think it'd be very awesome to win.
Shout out from the rooftops, you know, whatever.
All right. Then I'm going to call this one a good one. I'm going to say thanks to Michael Harrison. Thank you, Michael.
You are very welcome. Anytime.
All right. Thanks to Chuck Lawton.
Always thank you very much.
Thank you to Natanya Barron.
No problem. Anytime.
Always welcome. And to Matt Blum. Thank you. Always. All right. This has been the Geek Dads episode number 85. I'm Ken Reed, editor of GeekDads.com. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next time. Hold on.
Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad. Geek Dad.